come to that in a minute. I just wondered if any of you know what shuckling is. Shuckling? No? What, sorry? No.
To do with weaving?
Not exactly. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's, you've seen Jewish people at the Wailing Wall, and they do this sort of thing, don't they? That's shuckling. And the point of saying that is that there are different positions that we can pray to God in. As I've said before, one's perhaps more painfully kneeling, another standing, another's looking up to God in the heavens. And it doesn't matter how you pray, it matters that you do pray. And there's a thought abroad that, well, we can all pray. We can all pray to God. And yes, we can, but we have to be careful how we define God and who God is. Who are we praying to? We are praying to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not some abstract being. We're praying to Him. And some people in the world think it doesn't matter who we pray to, but it does, very much so. So I'm going back to Acts chapter 2. I'm actually going to read from verse 40. And Acts is a very significant book for prayer. It was the start of the early church. Verse 40 says, "And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then, those who had received his words were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Imagine baptizing them. And this was the very early church, so there wasn't many of them to baptize 3,000 of them. But anyway, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Earlier on, in chapter 1, verse 14. These, all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So this was straight after the day of ascension, straight after when Jesus had ascended to heaven. They all met together and they devoted themselves to prayer. What is prayer? Well, in essential, it's communion with God. And it's first mentioned, you could say, in Genesis. And not as we imagine prayer, but as Adam and Eve had sinned, God came looking for them. And he said, why are you hiding? And they said, well, it's because we're naked. And God said to them, well, who told you you were naked? So we see prayer as involving God straight away at the beginning. That God came looking for us. And so often that's the case with prayer anyway, that God is looking for us. All we have to do is to give him that time in a way. I love that phrase, together, constantly in prayer. They all join together. And God speaks. He isn't silent. And sometimes the idea of prayer and spirituality is kind of universal in the sense that spirituality is talked about even with pagans and with others who just claim, well, you know, we can all get in touch with God. But which God is it? In Genesis 4, we start to hear our verse 26. Men began to call upon the name of Yahweh. Clement of Alexandria, who lived in the 3rd century, said, prayer is communion with God. Sometimes we need help to get organized in our own minds in prayer. And some use the mnemonic Acts, which is quite interesting while we're in Acts. So, Acts, in case you didn't know, is adoration, confession, or contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. And that's an easy one to remember, and probably the easiest one to remember. But there's another one, just for those who like to be different. There's a pirate prayer. And what do pirates say? Ah, ooh, ah. That's what they say, isn't it? Ah. And the mnemonic, if you like, for this is A-triple-R, A-R-R-R. And that stands for acknowledging, first of all, that God is there, that God is with us. Relate, share with God what's on your mind. Receive, and God does speak to us, not always audibly. In fact, sometimes it gets a bit worrying when it's audibly, isn't it? If you start hearing voices, the first thing a psychiatrist says to you is, hey, up. You can come in here for a little session. But but God does speak to us, and we get that sense that God is speaking to us. And the third R is to respond to what he's said to us in this time. Go and do something, or whatever. In Acts we read also about the occasion when Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, needed replacing. So they prayed and they cast lots. And this was the very last time they cast lots. It's recorded. In other words, they rolled some dice and asked God to show us. And God showed them Matthias, who was duly elected. In Acts 3, verse 1, Peter and John went to the temple to pray because it was a certain time of day. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's an important thing. We should factor in when we pray. It doesn't have to be the same time on the dot every day. It doesn't. It's not so inflexible. But I just thought I'd point that out. Just going to look at Acts chapter 6. At this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose amongst the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews. The Hellenistic Jews were Greek Jews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And they approved this, and the men were selected. But my point is that these men wanted to devote themselves to prayer. It was part of their ministry, not only to preach the word and to know the word of God, but to pray. And so they were freed up to do that. And then further along in chapter 10, we read about a man called Cornelius. You remember this story probably, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, "Cornelius." Fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God." There's something special about prayer, that we can sacrifice our time to prayer. And this man also, he freely gave. He gave money away. Not just money, but of himself as well. But there's something special about that kind of prayer that we make a sacrifice of. And it's not just when we're walking around and the first thing that comes into our minds so often, we start praying then, but for that special sacrifice. And that's what happened to him. He had a vision as a result of it. I'm not going to go into the rest of the story. Further on in Acts chapter 12, we read about Peter. He was in trouble. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that, it pleased the Jews. So he proceeded further to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God, to God. I like that phrase as well. Prayer was being made for him fervently. How often do we indulge in fervent prayer? How often does it give us such a burden that we have just can't do anything else but pray? On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." His chains fell off. I like singing that. Yes. Have your chains fell off? Yes. I hope they have. And then he was released. He was set free. He walked right out of the jail and he knocked on the door where they were all praying. And they couldn't believe it that Peter was outside. That's an amazing account of how the early church prayed and how amazing was the response. Going a bit further on in Acts chapter 16, and we read about a place of prayer. Acts chapter 16, verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. In verse 16, it said, "It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of division met us." So we read there about a place of prayer. And sometimes we can pray privately in our own room. And that's good. And sometimes they obviously met outside and by a river, by all accounts. There must have been a special place to go. And we meet and pray on Zoom. Well, and more traditionally here at church, of course. And it's good to have a place of prayer. And reading that account, it would seem that it was a very open place and they were gathered. They could have been seen by anybody. And there were women gathered there, it says. and they had that place of prayer. Do we have a special place of prayer? Sometimes, as you know, I have a dog, and Sophie, she's called. It's a black Labrador. So I take her out for a walk in the morning and in the evening. And sometimes I just sit there in the park, which is where we go, on a particular bench, and just pray for a bit while she wanders off and causes mayhem. But she doesn't really. But so that's one of my places of prayer, as well as being in at home and here and in the car sometimes. That's a favourite of all of us, I think, who drive. And it's just a time when, so long as you keep your eye on the road, just a time when you can ignore the rest of what's going on and just pray. So this morning is just really an encouragement to pray. There are different ways of doing it, using that ACTS thing, mnemonic. Also, the navigators have produced what's called a prayer hand, and I've got a few. You're welcome to take one. And it has a different, instead of ACTS, it's confession, petition, intercession, thanksgiving, and praise. Basically, it means the same thing. But if you want to take one, you're welcome. And there is one for children as well. And but I've not printed that off, so I'm sorry. But let's pray, shall we?